You know, I think since the beginning, when Barbara made the announcements to this very point, there has been an intentional desire to keep us focused on this particular weekend, Memorial Day weekend. Tomorrow is a special day, I think, for our country. I pray that many of you will be able to get out and support some of the activities that will be going on in our community, both here in Patchogue. I know myself and Conrad and Charlie McGill, we are members of the same VFW post. We'll be marching in two parades tomorrow, one in Brookhaven and then one in Bellport. So if you'd like to come out to Bellport, that parade starts at 11 o'clock in the morning. And the gathering begins at Porter's, which is a restaurant there. In fact, Porter's is frequented that day by many firefighters, and I won't tell you what they're doing before they go out and march. But it's amazing that they make it to the cemetery. But we observe Memorial Day tomorrow. It's observed every year, and we remember those who paid the ultimate price for our freedom, who laid down their lives during war. I looked up this year Memorial Day to get a little history about it, and I found out that Waterloo, New York, and I know we have a number of people who are from upstate, was officially declared the birthplace of Memorial Day by President Lyndon Baines Johnson in May of 1966. And that tickled me a little bit because it was May of 1966 when I raised my hand on Armed Forces Day and was sworn into the United States Army, and later that day got to meet my new mother, my drill instructor. I still have flashbacks of that introduction. Now, some have disputed the beginnings of when it actually happened, because to me, May of 66 just doesn't sound long enough. And so I researched it a little further, and I saw that people had been celebrating, honoring, and remembering those who were killed in war going all the way back to the Revolutionary War and the Civil War in our country. However, Memorial Day was officially proclaimed first on May 5th, 1868, by General John Logan, who happened to be at the time the national commander of the Grand Army of the Republic, and it was actually celebrated on the 30th of May, which was the last Monday of the month of May. And on that day, flowers were placed on the graves of fallen service members at Arlington National Cemetery. So that was just like this little history of what tomorrow means. I had a veteran on Friday, who's a veteran of Afghanistan, say to me, you know what, we shouldn't make the public feel guilty about having a barbecue or going to a ball game or having some family time. And of course not. And that's not my intention. But we also shouldn't forget to remember what tomorrow represents. You know, the Apostle Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, he says, but one thing I do, he says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God is calling me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And I thought about that, and I said, you know, Paul was talking about forgetting what was behind, meaning our old person who before we came into this great saving relationship with Jesus Christ. In other words, the old man, the old woman, forgetting about that person and straining forward heavenward in Jesus Christ as a new creature, a new person in Christ. That's what he was talking about. But many times it's important to remember, friends, what is behind us. Things that did happen in our history, it'd be best not forgotten. I know there's a lot of things that should be forgotten. things, ugly events that happen in world history and even in our nation's history, not to forget it, because I think we should be reminded so we don't repeat that history, but there are certain things that should never be forgotten. For instance, I myself will never forget 9/11, 2001. That will never drift out of my mind, and I will remember it for as long as I live. That's another event in history that I refuse to forget, and I will always honor those who lost their lives that day. Should we ever really forget those who paid the ultimate price that we might enjoy the protective freedoms that we enjoy in this country today? And for that matter, I will also say that the men and women who serve in uniform and who have served in uniform, they have brought freedom to other nations and other peoples around the world. Take my wife, for instance. I remember when Henny Youngman said that, "Take my wife, please." I don't even know why I thought of that, but things happen when I'm up here in this pulpit. But my wife was born right in the heat of the Korean War. Rockets and bombs and bullets were blasting all over the place when my wife came into this world. And they were living right in the midst of that horrific battle going on around Seoul and smaller communities where her parents had to flee from one location to the next. Of course, she doesn't remember this because she was a newborn. But she was given birth right in the midst of a horrific war. But I want to tell you something, and I know this personally. The people of South Korea to this very day honor and respect the American service persons who fought in that war, because today they enjoy a democracy and freedom. And in fact, they're a prosperous nation. And when you juxtapose that and compare it to what's going on north of the border in North Korea, the poverty and the unbelievable dictatorship and atrocities that are being committed under Kim Jong-un and his regime, you could understand why the South Koreans are indebted to the Americans. And they're not afraid to say that. In fact, my wife's uncle, who was the younger brother of her mother, went off to the north to fight with the ROK Marines, and he never returned home. And to this very day, the Republic of South Korea has him listed as missing in action. They never recovered his remains. And so it's upfront and personal, isn't it? It's not some distant story that happened somewhere else. My father, for example, and my nephew's here this morning. My father served both in World War II and the Korean War. And my brother and I, though we never met this person, we felt as if we did know him, because my father always talked about this kid, because you got to remember, when my father finally made it to Korea, he was already a seasoned veteran and he was in his 30s. And he had this 18-year-old kid, Sharky. I remember that name. And Mark, you may remember that name as well. My father always talked about this kid, Sharky, from Pittsburgh. And in the Korean War, a mortar round found his position, and Sharky was killed. And my father had this picture of him and Sharky with their arms around each other in quiet times before they were deployed from Okinawa to Korea when the Korean War broke out. And my father fondly remembered this kid, Sharky, from Pittsburgh. It's ingrained in my head. Right up until the day he died in his late 80s, he never forgot about this kid, Sharky, from Pittsburgh. He never forgot. And you know what? We shouldn't forget either. Someone sent me an email this week concerning Memorial Day, and I'd like to read some of it in part to you. And this is what it says. It is the veteran and not the preacher who's given you the freedom of religion. It's the veteran and not the reporter who has given us the freedom of the press. It's the veteran and not the poet who has given us the freedom of speech. It's the veteran and not the campus organizer who has given us the freedom to assemble. It's the veteran and not the lawyer who has given us the freedom to a fair and speedy trial. It's the veteran and not the politician who has given us the freedom to vote for our public officials. Some things, you see, are just worth remembering. You know, we all know Senator John McCain. Doesn't matter whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. We all know that he paid a very dear price during the Vietnam War. And he wrote this article, and I'm going to read some of it in part. It's called A Flag of Rags. And we know that John McCain was a prisoner of war in North Vietnam for many, many years. He was given an opportunity to go home, and he refused to go home to let a junior person to go home before him. To me, that's the sign of a real hero. This is what he writes. In the final years of my imprisonment, the North Vietnamese moved us from small cells of one or two prisoners to larger rooms where there were as many as 30 to 40 men in a room. We preferred this situation for the companionship and the strength we could draw from our fellow prisoners. In addition to moving us to larger quarters, our captives also let us receive packages from home, and some of the men had not heard from their families in several years. In our cell was a Navy officer, Lieutenant Commander Mike Christian. Over a period of time, Mike had gathered bits and pieces of red and white cloth from various packages. Using a piece of bamboo, which he fashioned into a sewing needle, Mike sewed a United States flag on the inside of his shirt, one of the blue pajama tops that we wore in our imprisonment. Every night in our cell, Mike would put his shirt on the wall, and we would say the Pledge of Allegiance. I know the Pledge of Allegiance may not be the most important aspect of our day now, but I can tell you that at the time, it was the most important aspect of our lives. This had been going on for some time until one of the guards came in as we were reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. He ripped the flag off the wall. He dragged Mike out of his cell. He was beaten for several hours and then thrown back into the room. Later that night, as we were settling down to sleep on our concrete slabs that were our beds, I looked over to a spot where the guards had thrown Mike. And there, under the solitary light bulb hanging from the ceiling, I saw Mike, still bloody, his face swollen beyond recognition, gathering bits and pieces of cloth. He was sewing together another American flag. I don't know about you, but I just got chills reading that. Senator McCain said he will never forget the ultimate price some have paid so that we might enjoy the freedom of our land. And you know what? I thought to myself, Senator McCain, we shouldn't forget either. In the summer of 1944, a young man named Robert Biggs, who graduated from Patchogue Medford High School, right here, enlisted in the United States Marine Corps. He and his family were active members of this church. He was baptized and confirmed in this very space, right here. Picture this kid just finishing high school, had been baptized in this church and confirmed right at this altar. And he came home from his training and his Marine Corps uniform, and the church was proud of him. His parents were proud of him. The community was proud of young Bobby Biggs. Just 7 short months later, this young 18-year-old found himself in the middle of the Battle of Iwo Jima. And on March 8, 1945, young Bobby Biggs was killed in action. At the time, he was the youngest member killed in service during World War II. And in this very space, his memorial service was held. The cross, by the way, displayed on the wall outside of Wesley Hall on School Street, was given and dedicated by fellow students in his Sunday school class. Every time I walk in and out of this church on that entrance, I look at that cross and I think of him. And I never met him. I don't know his family. I don't know anything about him. But one day I'm going to do a painting of him. Ken Ken, raise your hand for a minute. Ken Schultz. He worships here every Sunday with three generations of his family. He lost his uncle, United States Navy fireman, third class Kenneth Lyle Jane, while serving on the USS Oklahoma during the Pearl Harbor attack. And in fact, his remains have still not returned, but they have been positively identified, and they will be returned to Patchogue one day to receive a proper burial. So as you can see, these are just two examples that are close to home. It's not somebody living in Podunk, Georgia, or Presque Isle, Maine. And there's a plaque on the back wall that lists quite a number of people that left this church to go off to battle for us. And I would just say again, certain things are just worth remembering. In fact, I would add that certain things are worthy of never forgetting. I wonder if my dad's friend Sharky, that little kid from Pittsburgh, could speak from his grave. I wonder if my wife's uncle or Bobby Biggs or Ken's uncle could speak. Would they ask each of us this morning, what good will you do with the freedom that you enjoy today? I think Jesus asks us that same question every single day. What good will you do with the freedom that I gave you by laying down my life on Calvary's cross? Both our nation's heroes and our Lord would say certain things are worthy remembering, and once remembered, require acts of gratitude, requires action out of the appreciation of the gift that was given to each of us who are here this morning. You know, our society, I'm not going to knock our society, but I will tell you, we have become a self-absorbed society who often thinks, what's in it for me? Many times our society worships the Trinity of me, myself, and I. How am I going to benefit? And that flies in the face of every soldier, every Marine, every sailor, every airman who paid the ultimate price in giving up their life for this country. And it goes against the very message of Jesus, who sacrificed his life on Calvary's Hill. So it's my prayer this morning that perhaps we take this weekend to remember. Remember the freedoms we enjoy because of guys like Bobby Biggs, who left this church to go off to war. Remember the freedom we enjoy in Jesus Christ, who left his throne to be nailed to a cross that he might take on our sins, even yours and mine. And think of ways to use that freedom. Think of ways to act out the freedom we have been given for the betterment of others, not just ourselves. You see, certain things are just worthy of remembering. Not just this weekend, but every single day, thankfully, and considering ways to reach out and to make someone else's life better. And so, Father, I pray this morning as we celebrate, remember, memorialize, however we want to phrase it, this Memorial Day weekend, I pray in the name of Christ that we would never forget this gift of freedom as a country and this gift of salvation and freedom of sin and death through the gift that Jesus Christ has given each of us. And as a result of that freedom, I pray, Lord God, that we would find ways to reach out and touch somebody who needs to be touched in a special way. I pray all of this in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.